Hey guys, welcome to Dallas here at the Big 12 Media Days. Really kind of a boring first day, and I'm joined by my good friend Randy Peterson, who covers the Cyclones for the Des Moines Register. We were just filming one of your videos for DesMoinesRegister.com, Randy, and you pointed out that compared to last year when Bob Boolsby kind of went on a rampage up there, today was very quiet. There was some talk about the Big 12 going to two contact days compared to three for the rest of the conference, for the rest of the country. I found that to be a little bit interesting. Really what was piquing my interest coming into today was what I thought we were going to have as far as expansion talk, you know, potential realignment conversation. But, man, he really didn't bite on anything today. I know you were out in the hallways with him, talking with him, with other reporters. I didn't get in on that conversation. I mean, did I miss anything? Did you read into anything else?
No, I didn't. You didn't miss anything. They're not going to expand. There's no push from the presidents and the chancellors who run the conference. There's no push to expand. Everybody seems to be happy with 10 teams. I still say that's doesn't benefit Iowa State, but maybe I'm the only person out there that thinks that. But regardless, they're going to stay with the status quo. Now, once the NCAA allows conferences with 10 teams to split into divisions and have a conference playoff game, championship playoff game, I think Iowa State, or I think the Big 12 will go to that eventually. But Bob said there's no immediate push to do that for 2016. But I would guess by 2017 the conference will be in divisions, five teams in each division, and a championship game, especially if the Big 12 gets shut out from the college football playoffs Final Four like it did last year.
I kind of felt, and I guess I have the whole time too, when they were doing their initial spring meetings down in, I think, Phoenix, and making some phone calls, and then judging by what Bob Boolsby had to say about it today, I feel like the Big 12 is setting us up for exactly that. He talked a lot about deregulating the rule to having to have 12 teams as far as, you know, having that championship game. Then I saw, I think it was Chuck Carlton from down here in Dallas, sent out some sort of a tweet about Bulls about an extra $20 to $30 million that could bring the conference. I feel like they're slow playing us, and I guess to me it almost years they'll have that. Am I going too far on a ledge, you think?
Oh, not at all. That was one of the things to him was somebody asked him how much money a conference champion would be worth. He said easily $20 million. That's a lot of money. The Big 12 is they could potentially get if they had a championship game. So for that reason, also for the conference playoff reason, I would guess that within a couple of years there'll be a conference playoff game. Now, will there be expansion? I don't think so. If they get what they want out of from the NCAA, which would allow 10 team conferences to have a conference playoff game, that's what the Big 12 wants. And to be quite honest with you, if the Big 12 was going to expand, and if there were teams out there that fit the Big 12 blueprint, footprint, whatever you want to call it, they'd have already done that. Bob's a very forward-thinking person. They would have done that, but there's nobody out there right now that trips their trigger. Now, if the ACC, you know, if they want to go poach somebody out of the ACC, that's one thing. But of the teams that are not in, there's nobody appealing for the Big 12.
The weird part for me, and the kind of the unsolved mystery in all this, was Oklahoma's president David Boren. What was it, 2-3 weeks ago, when he made the comment about that he's in favor of expansion. If you read the Boolsby quotes from today, I mean, there's just, to me, like when I'm trying to peel off, and there seems to be some inconsistency. Some people say it's pretty much unanimous, they want to stay at 10. Well, today, Boolsby actually, he said that there's some people like foreign who would like to expand. There's people in the middle who could be persuaded either way, and then there's the ones heavily against it. I believe the reason in the world to believe that Texas is one of those teams. But I guess for me, like, I'm still very curious what Boren's end game is. He's a really smart guy. You know, this is a distinguished guy. He generally doesn't just throw crap against the wall to see if it sticks. He's the type of guy who is very calculated with what he says. So I guess maybe it's because, you know, we cover Iowa State and saw what about happened to Iowa State 5 years ago. Maybe I'm a little bit paranoid because of that. But I still, I guess, what do you take of that? Do I have reason to my spider sense to still be up just a little bit there?
Yeah, I don't know what Boren's end game is with all that, other than maybe to just stir the pot, to generate some conversation. It was said during a very downtime during the year. Nothing else was going on. I don't know what it was. Oklahoma's in a good spot right now. I mean, the way the conference is set up right now. Now, do they? You know, it might have something to do with the OU Texas rivalry also. I don't quite get that either. But it certainly generated discussion, and you know, that's all we've been talking about today also. But you know, it's probably not going to happen. But like Bob said, and like you said, there's not uniformity among the Big 12 schools right now. Some want it, some don't, and some are just kind of in the middle. But for now, they're going to stay with the status quo, and you know, everybody moves on with a 10-team league and see who wins Baylor TCU on November 27th.
Well, let's talk a little bit of football, and that's a good transition right there. TCU is really the only, I guess, what I would call interesting team to take the stand today. The heavy hitters, and along with Iowa State, where most of our audience is interested, and they come on tomorrow. But TCU was up there. Gary Patterson took the stand. You picked earlier in the week, and I was proud of you. You went with Art Briles and Baylor to win the conference. Why did you take Baylor over TCU?
Just the simple fact that Baylor's got a little bit more of a versatile offense. Okay, you say that Baylor's needs a new quarterback. I don't care who you can go in there, Chris, and throw in with that system. That system is set up for a quarterback to thrive, no matter who you put in there. So the quarterback, I don't see that being that big a deal at Baylor, because whoever it is going to have big numbers. Baylor's got a running back, Shaq Linwood. He's back. I mean, it seems like he's been there for 10 years. He's back. And given that threat of a running game, that's kind of what tipped the scales for me with Baylor. And, yeah, I know the game's at TCU. I get that. But that kind of tips the scales with Baylor, and that goes against what I've written about and how I've criticized Baylor for its very soft non-conference scheduling. But in the end, I think that Baylor's running game will give Baylor the edge over TCU.
I think with the way that the playoff is set up, and Iowa State, or excuse me, the Big 12 not having that championship game, I almost think you can make an argument now, after listening to the folks today, specifically Gary Patterson talking about, I mean, I think his direct quote was, you know, the best teams are the ones who are winning at the end of the year. I mean, Baylor's patsy non-conference schedule, they're basically going into the opening game of the Big 12 at 100%, right? I mean, they shouldn't be that dinged up at that point in time, because they're not playing anybody. When you look at TCU, I think they've got to go to Minnesota. They've got actually a decent non-conference schedule this year. I don't even know where I'm really going with this, but I almost think this year, because I don't think you can, even with the soft non-conference schedule, you can't keep an undefeated Baylor team with playing the 9 conference games out of a college football playoff, can you?
I wouldn't think so. I think if you go unbeaten, I think you're in. I would think that would be enough to get you in. I don't know. I don't know that for sure, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, the scenario.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. But certainly, like you said, Baylor's set up to win all its non-conference games, and to have a lot of its starters rest during the second halves of those games also, I would suspect, like they've done in the past. So we'll just see what happens at the end, but I'm still going with Baylor.
The guy I was interested in today was David Beatty, the new head coach from Kansas. He was passionate. He's a Texas guy. I think he probably mentioned 5 or 6 times that he's a former Texas high school football coach and how proud he was of that. That guy made me want to pat up, man. Like, I wanted to get out there. He was awesome.
I know, and you don't think he wasn't sucking up to what's going on down here in Texas. I mean, he said that the other day he was at a Texas Hall of Fame dinner and there were something or other, and there were 12,000 or 20,000 Texas high school coaches, 12,000 Texas high school coaches there. There's no question that the state of Texas is where the players are, and one of the reasons Kansas hired him is because he's such a good recruiter, and he's got the recruiting roots down here in Texas, and he certainly played to that today by stroking all the Texas high school coaches in the Texas high school system. But it's more than that with him. Like you said, he was very motivational. He's coached down here. I mean, in high school, in Texas high school system. So he knows the passion for high school football here. And so when he speaks about it, he's speaking passionately. It's not just a bunch of BS, I think.
Last but not least, Dana Holgorsen took the stand. I've been pretty critical of Holgy over the years, just because I think he's a really bright offensive mind, obviously, which he's proven. But their defense really a lot to be desired over his entire tenure at West Virginia. Do you think he's close to being on the hot seat, I guess, is my question? Because I'm starting to sense pressure mounting down there. They haven't had a lot of success since they joined the Big 12, comparatively speaking to what they were doing in a much weaker Big East. What do you think about Holgorsen's seat?
Yeah, I don't like that phrase hot seat, and I know we all use it, and I know that that it's a buzz phrase and people like to throw that out. But I would say, yeah, I agree that West Virginia thinks they can do better than what they're doing, and they've done better than what they're doing now. And he'll have a good team this year. But like you said, I think there's questions on the defense. Will he suffer for this? Will he suffer for this immediately? Probably not. Because it's West Virginia, for gosh sakes, you know. So I doubt that. Unless they totally fall off the rails, I doubt that this will be it for Dana. But maybe after next year, or after this season, who knows? Or after the 2016 season, if they continue that way, then possibly because they have had very good football at West Virginia. It's a tough place to recruit, as we all know that, like Iowa State's a very tough place to recruit. It's not easy to get to Morgantown, West Virginia, trust me. I mean, yeah. It's you don't get there, just hop on a plane and go. So there are some very passionate fans there, just like there are everywhere, that thinks that programs should be better than what they are.
Yeah, and I guess I don't think he's getting fired this year. I just think it's time kind of for him, as far as reading their message boards and gauging that fan base. I think they're ready to take another step, kind of like Texas Tech, too. I don't think that Cliff Kingsbury, who was also on the podium today, I don't feel like his seat is hot quite yet, but if he goes 3-9, 4-8 again, even though he is the hometown boy, he's going to start to hear real critics.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's their version of Lubbock's version of the mayor, I would guess. Yeah. You keep hearing little bits and pieces about Charlie Strong being on a so-called hot seat also. I mean, he's just been at Texas 1 year, for guys' sakes. Texas fans are so spoiled. They expect the world. And they have to jump back into reality sometimes also. But if Texas doesn't have a good season this year, which I think they will have a good season, but you're going to see his name, Charlie Strong's name, listed on hot seats as well. So it's a whole different age now. I mean, people expect immediate winning. They expect immediate winning to continue, and they expect great bowl success. It's just not real.
He's Randy Peterson from the Des Moines Register. Thanks, pal. Appreciate it.
No problem.
It's always good to have you on the program. Tomorrow, I think we'll ramp up. Baylor, Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Iowa State. It'll be a much more active day, I think, down here from Dallas. He's Randy Peterson. I'm Chris Williams. So long, guys.